Hi, everybody. It's Brian Drake, and this is the Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach podcast. It's actually a rerun today. We were off last week. We're gone this week, too, because your boy needed a break. We're going back to the one-hour format. The two-hour format was not working for three out of the four of us, and we're probably going to have some discussions about that when we record again next week. It might be a really good argument to listen to as well, so we'll see. In the meantime, do enjoy this rerun. We're back next week, and thanks for sticking with us. Drake and Scott on Radioslot.com. Welcome to the show, coast to coast, nationwide, around the world. Thank you for listening wherever you are. No Ziggy today.
Oh, no, and we're Ziggy free.
Yeah, and
where might Ziggy be?
I don't know. Maybe he's out getting tickets for another concert regarding She Who Should Not Be Named.
It's true.
Are we still not saying her name even though the bet's over?
Is the bet over? Was that 10 last week?
Yeah.
I'm not saying her name just in case.
Okay.
I don't want to find out that.
There's no reason to because she's not in the news anymore.
Well, and if there was a best of show, that might not count towards the 10.
I'm pretty sure
he's trying to find tickets to be with her.
Yeah, when I did the math, I subtracted the two best ofs.
So, oh, okay.
So, yeah, we're clear now if you want to start the next bet, which, you know, I had an idea for
Sailor Twist is who we're talking about.
Yeah, I had an idea for one, and I didn't write it down, and now I've forgotten it.
You suffer from OLD.
Yeah.
I know.
You know, I think it had something to do with, you know, how long before Ziggy's gone again. I think that's what the bet was, because I thought it would be funny, because, you know, he's never here for every show.
I know. He's like a stray cat. He's like a cat, not a stray cat. They're all stray cats, right?
Yeah, sure.
Cats disappear, and then they come back, and we'll call him One Cool Cat.
Okay. That'll be his new nickname. Anyway, we talk about anything and everything on this show, and if you're not offended in the first 5 minutes, we'll try harder.
Or you're not listening.
We lost our sponsor. I wasn't going to say that.
Well, I think we promoted him so well that now he's so busy.
Well, he's busy with commercial stuff, so we
he's keeping up with the business.
Yeah, we did one extra sponsor read at the beginning of May, and then it's like, well, we can't do any more until I make sure he's still on board.
Hey, shout out to Alex Garfield.
Yeah, so I sent him a note, and he's like, you know, we got to pause because we're too busy with commercial projects right now. So it's not just residential he's doing anymore, but, you know, businesses. And
925-791-1776.
Yeah.
Call him anyways.
Yeah, why not?
He'll get you solar.
Sure. So so he's like, yeah, we got to stop for a while. And it's like, okay, that's fine. So the beginning of the show feels a little strange. It's going to take a second for me to adjust to not having to read a commercial. We'll get another sponsor, I'm sure, but
yeah, we'll be okay.
Yeah, we'll be fine. Lots of stuff to talk about today. Boeing's murdering people. White guys who have graduate degrees more inclined to believe conspiracy theories. Some white folk have voted to form their own town, which is upsetting some people. Governor Haircut has signed a bill to ban candy because it causes cancer. This goes back to something we talked about a year ago on one of our first shows. Remember I bought those four tubs of Skittles because that's on the ban list that Haircut was going to, you know.
Right.
Well, I still have two of the tubs.
No, I think what you meant to say is two of them are gone.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's a lot of Skittles, bro.
That
in
is
one year?
Yeah, it's taken that long. And
You said tubs.
Yeah, two tubs of Skittles about yay high. And I'm going to take the last one and bring it to work, and it'll be gone in 10 seconds. But
I think you're crazy on the way is admitting. How about what's your average Skittle intake a day? Five?
No, I haven't been. It's not been every day.
No, what's average? Maybe, you went through two tubs in a year. Come on.
I really didn't, you know, because it was exciting and funny at first, and then I stopped. And then that's why there's still two left. So I don't know how many I was doing.
So you broke up with Skittles?
I guess.
You told Skittles you just wanted to be friends?
Yeah, and now I just want it out of the house. So I'm going to take
it to... It's not you, it's me.
Yeah, I'm going to take it to work and let those hyenas go after it. The Fall Guy movie has flopped. This is the revenge of Lee Majors. And couple other things. We have 10,000 fast food workers laid off in California after the $20 an hour raise came up, including some saying they wish they had their old wages back because at least then they'd still be working. Maybe we'll get to that.
So that backfired.
It's in the process of backfiring big time. We haven't seen the full backfire yet, but we sure will, and it's not going to be pretty.
No. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Well, speaking of backfiring.
Okay.
I got my crazy on the way.
Right. Okay. Let's go.
So my wife said we gotta do workouts together. We're gonna find an activity together. So she takes me to the gym, and we do arm day. Right, so you work out people, you know what arm day is. Mm-hmm. This was my first experience with arm day. Praise the Lord.
Okay.
And something didn't work.
Uh-oh.
I did the lightest, second to lightest weights on pretty much all the machines. I couldn't do the same weight that she did. I just, my ego couldn't handle it, so mm-hmm. I went.
Well, you got to build up.
Well, a little bit. I got to do at least one more weight than she does. Right. So we went through all these things on my arms, and I was fine. And then throughout the day, my arm just started hurting, and my elbow. And then I think I made it worse. I slept on it wrong. Next thing you know, my left arm was like useless for like 3 days.
Oh, wow.
So this is just an ongoing saga of my physical health. You know, I throw out my back, my arm doesn't work. I got all kinds of other issues.
Yeah, and then didn't you went to your daughter's yoga class, didn't that cause some damage as well?
Yeah, that caused some damage too. So there's all these physical activity. I find out that I just get injured.
Your family's trying to kill you is what's going on.
Probably. So there's yet to be another arm day since then. We'll see.
How long ago was this now I'm first scared. Arm?
Oh, it was like a week or so ago. Oh,
okay. You should have gone back six days ago or something.
No, I'm afraid of leg day now.
Okay.
I mean, if your left arm doesn't work, you can kind of make it through the day pretty well. If your legs don't work,
that could be.
They got
problem.
Placards for that, man. That's what I'll do. I'll go do leg day, and mm-hmm. then I'll apply for a placard.
There you go. Yeah, my wife and I are at the, I'm at the gym more than she is. I'm three or four nights, and I don't have a story like that, but I do.
Well, because you're regular.
Yeah, speaking of regulars at the gym, that's what this leads into, that I've kind of named all the other people that are there at the same time as I am, and I kind of make up their backstories. So we've got Mr. Miyagi, who is an older chap with the Pat Morita mustache and just does everything. He shows up, doesn't talk to anybody. Nobody talks to each other, actually.
He waxes on, waxes off.
Yeah, he hits
the fence.
He hits all of his machines, kind of makes a circle of the place.
Sands the deck.
And then he's out, and dude is ripped. We've got Revenge Body Blonde, who's this young
lady.
Wait,
does Mr. Miyagi ever, does he ever do the crane thing?
He doesn't do the crane thing.
Oh, no. That would be best.
He just goes in, runs, and lifts heavy things, and doesn't sweat, and just leaves. You know,
Sweatless Miyagi.
Yeah, and then Revenge Body Blonde.
You got the title for this episode, Sweatless Miyagi.
Okay, that'll work. but Revenge Body Blonde, that's a young lady who I imagine just got dumped, and she came in to get ripped, and she's in the process of doing exactly that.
She's
working on
catching her next victim.
Sure. And then, you know, you get some others. There's another one I nicknamed Thunder Thighs for, you know, obvious reasons, but that's... I don't mean to insult the people. That's the thing. That's why it's like...
What do you mean to do, Brian?
These are just what I don't... Nobody talks to each other. Everybody's got their earbuds in.
This is the dark side of Brian's mind.
It is the dark side. So it's like, you know, you just name people as they come by and you see them every day. So it's like, okay, there's Miyagi, there's Revenge Body, and then Thunder Thighs on the stair machine. That's all she does is the stair machine.
Didn't you watch Star Wars, man? You got to be careful with
Star Wars was really cool when I was 10. So the, you know, Thunder Thighs is always on the stair machine, and I think she's doing it for her Instagram profile so she can take pictures of her rear end and stuff, because isn't that that's all they do, right?
Man, your imagination just goes way, it just doesn't stop, man.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. And then there's this one couple, I don't have a name for them yet, but they show up, and they're a little older than me, so they come in and do their stuff and then leave, and anyway, it's.
I ran into one of the people that works out with you.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it turns out they do the same thing. They come up with ideas and backstories on everybody, and then it gives them nicknames.
Okay, so what's mine?
They told me your nickname.
What is it?
Too many Skittles. Thank you.
Well, that's why I'm at the gym. So, you know. But, you know, it is a lot of fun there. I do need to go back. I get a free hour of personal training, so I keep meaning to set that up. Because they're trying to sell you on, you know, hiring the personal trainer. And I might do that. But I haven't taken advantage of the free one yet.
Be careful of the dark side, man. It's going to get you in trouble.
Well, that's where Brian Drake's Naked Cruelty comes from.
Well. Okay. Not all things are good.
You want to talk about Boeing killing people?
Yeah, because one of my kids was asking about this the other day, and I thought,
So this story's been around for a couple of weeks now. A former quality auditor at Boeing supplier Spirit AeroSystems turned whistleblower and then died of a sudden illness. Now, this is the second time.
Conspiracy theory that the Boeing haters are disappearing.
Exactly. So
it's like the Clinton body count. But,
well, this is the second guy, though. That's why everybody's talking about it. His name was Joshua Dean. He had accused Spirit of ignoring defects in the production of the 737 MAX, which has suffered crashes and safety issues in recent years.
That's my nickname, by the way. When I go to the gym, 737 MAX.
Oh, okay. I thought safety issue might be the one. So his death is likely, again, to draw attention to Boeing, which has been under increased scrutiny from regulators and airlines since the emergency exit door blew off of a 737 MAX in midair in January. And
sounds like Boeing should try and kill the door, too, because the door is a witness against them.
Yeah.
They should try to kill the door and make it disappear.
The whistleblower claimed that the company had fired him in retaliation for flagging the defects at the Wichita plant, et cetera, et cetera. But what...
Did they find the door?
I don't know. Probably. I haven't looked.
You could have some fun with the Boeing door. If you had the one that blew off, you could set it up as like a statue out on the street in front of their place.
Oh, take sure.
Pictures, social, I mean, you could have a lot of fun with that.
But what bothers me about this story is not so much that Boeing's killing people. It's just that everybody kind of accepts that Boeing is killing people. And it's like, okay, that's just how we do business in America.
Well, no, it's scary now as they're killing them on the ground. They were trying to kill him in the air. Well, now they're trying to kill him on the ground.
Too. Yeah, but it's being laughed off. Is this is just how we do business in America now?
It's not being laughed off.
Yeah, it is being laughed off. I mean, at least on Twitter, I'm not looking at it anywhere else. It's just the social media sphere. It's just a lot of joking.
I missed
around,
the cause of death. What was the cause of death?
A sudden illness.
Oh,
it just kind of came up on him after he'd been healthy for a long time.
Yeah,
so it just kind of happened suddenly. So, you know, suddenly as in they creep in the back door and pop him in the back of the head. And
A sudden increase in the metal content in his brain?
No, that I have to admit I was just joking. But no, apparently this creeping illness that came up on him and took him down, just like it did the other guy. No, the other guy actually.
Well, now I'm nervous because I had a lot of creeping things.
Yeah.
Illnesses coming up on me.
Yeah, the other guy shot himself. So, you know.
Yeah, that can be staged.
But yeah, this is just how things are in America now, so nobody is...
Well, they got a long way to go to catch up with the Clintons.
Yeah.
Right, the number of people that are along the side of the road behind the Clintons, that is a long list.
Now, one thing about this, though, that another 10 whistleblowers have reportedly come out to talk about Boeing, so I don't know if they can kill all of them. But
well, let's see.
Yeah.
Let's keep a tally, right?
Okay.
Or not.
So we have the Clinton death count, now we can have the Boeing death count.
Oh, the Boeing who has been shown the door.
Okay.
Yeah, let's have some fun with that.
Well, we got a minute and a half. What can we talk about in a minute?
Did you have a crazy on the way?
I don't.
Besides the gym?
No. I haven't had any crazy stuff happen to me lately.
Are you sleeping yet?
No. Well, I'm better, but still.
You just have an ongoing crazy.
Okay, yeah.
Way crazy.
Yeah, it's like weeks of insomnia crazy that, things aren't firing too quick in the head. That's why I'm having a hard time talking right now.
Did you try any new techniques on sleeping?
No. No, just going to bed early to try and front load everything because I know I'm going to wake up early, and like I did this morning.
All right, well, we need people to email us with ideas for sleep technique. DrakeandScott@gmail.com. Spell out the and put a third T on Scott.
Do we have any emails from last week?
No, but I...
Of course not. Nobody's listening.
It's not been up long enough.
Yeah, okay.
We'll see. I know, and save the email if you're going to email and say, oh, in order for me to go to sleep, I just listen to Drake and Scott. Puts me right to sleep.
Maybe I should try that.
All right, well, we'll get to this white guy after the break.
Yeah, white guys who have graduate degrees tend to believe conspiracy theories more than anybody else. And a study...
Are you sure that's not a conspiracy?
Where's my... Nah, I don't have a drum sound.
Wah, wah.
But yeah, it's a recent study, and the people who conducted the study are quite surprised that so-called educated people believe certain things. We'll get to that in a minute, back after this. Drake and Scott on Radioslot.com, back with our second segment, and we have conspiracy theorists who aren't, well, who don't fit the stereotype, I should say. This, where did this story come from? MSN, okay. So Americans who aggressively promote far-right conspiracy theories online are often stereotyped as older white males who live in red states, never attended college, and listen to Alex Jones. Or Steve Bannon.
Well, I feel like I'm in the clear then.
Yeah.
I have yet to listen to either two of those.
Yeah. But according to Saverio Racino, a researcher at the University of California in Irvine, some of the most passionate conspiracy theorists are white-collar workers with advanced college degrees. In other words, they're smarter than you think. Then again, I didn't finish college, so...
Well,
yeah, I guess they fit into the first category.
Their imaginations run a little bit too hot, right?
Yeah, so this study released early in April, April 4th. It's called the Status Foundations of Conspiracy Beliefs.
They're overthinking.
Yeah, but Rossino says, unique to my results, there exists a cluster of graduate degree-holding white men who display a penchant for conspiracy beliefs. And...
Well, this
I don't know. Number one, it's like, you know, they're trying to say, you know, conspiracies are dumb, but then lately it's like the difference between a conspiracy theory and reality is about 6 months. And two, it's...
Well, let me guess. Let's guess to the ethnicity of Saverio Racino.
Well, he sounds like a Sicilian. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Do you think
that.
He's a white guy?
I don't know.
Let's play the white card. Let's just bash on the white people some more. I think this has to do with people who think. And people that think, that's like their default, then they think too much. It's like people who drink. It's their default. They drink too much. Stop thinking too much and stop drinking too much. In fact, the thinkers...
You say that like it's a
thinkers bad thing. Should start drinking and drinkers should start thinking. I'm going to make t-shirts for the show.
Okay. I can't find a picture of this fellow, but he sounds Italian, so, you know, he's probably... I'm half Italian, so it's like, you know, we're mostly white.
He's not your stereotypical white, is what I'm saying. Okay. So it's easy to bash someone else, and that's okay. As long as you're bashing white people, you can be whoever you want because they're the approved of target. Now, if they had said this about someone else,
now, he did,
one, it wouldn't be true because I actually agree with him.
Well, he did point out, though,
white people are crazy.
He did point out that there's in his data that there's a concentration of medical themed conspiracy beliefs among African Americans. So I guess the whites believe the government's coming to take over and the blacks believe that the doctors are out to get them. I don't know.
Well, I can make an argument for black people being the smartest people on the planet.
Well, I can make an argument that the blacks are correct because of all the, you know, medical experiments over the years.
Yeah, but white people try to pull one over on the black people. They know. It's like, ah, this is whitey being white. I'm pretty sure.
Apparently there's some conspiracy theories involving She Who Shall Not Be Named that are
How many conspiracy here, theories have you ever come across that actually turned out to be true?
Lately, just a lot of the COVID stuff and some of the election stuff.
No, COVID was not a conspiracy, Brian. Yeah, yeah. It was only 2 weeks to slow the spread, okay? That was it.
Sure.
It totally worked.
I'm still waiting for...
They got everything right.
I'm still waiting for the Freemasons to do their thing, because apparently they're supposed to be heavily involved in taking over. I'm waiting for the UN to come marching in with their army. I mean, there are some theories that are still...
Yeah, my favorite line about COVID comes from an older Southern gentleman I met out of South Carolina. We were traveling in Florida for an event, and I ended up sitting at this guy's table, and COVID comes up, and he's like, "You know, it's so deadly, you have to take a test to find out if you even have it." I thought that was brilliant. It's so deadly, why do you got to take a test?
Yeah, right. It should just kill you.
You know what? You know what's hard to find is total deaths worldwide since 2019.
Really?
Nobody wants to post or publish data on total deaths overall.
Is that because it wasn't as many as they claimed, or?
I think it has to do that. In fact, back in 21, I did some deep dive on this and found out that there were more total deaths in 2018 worldwide than there were total deaths in 2020.
Hmm.
So we had 9 months of COVID in 2020, but yet in 2018, there were more total deaths worldwide.
Hmm.
So I credit my stepdad for putting me on to, well, what about total deaths? And we had this great conversation.
I see.
Shout out to stepdad.
So it sounds like your stepdad is one of these educated conspiracy theorists.
Oh yeah, he's a problem.
Well, let's talk about another problem. Just speaking of white people, from New York Post, a group of wealthy white Baton Rouge residents have won a decades-long battle to split from the majority black city to form their own suburb, following a state Supreme Court ruling.
This sounds like it can only go poorly.
I'm trying not to laugh here, because normally, you know, in this area, those are people that go to Brentwood. So after reversing a lower court's decision on Friday, the Supreme Court ruled 4-3 in favor of the incorporation of St. George, which will form in southeast Baton Rouge.
Yikes.
One of the leaders of the campaign says this is the culmination of citizens exercising their constitutional rights. We voted and we won.
And they're doing it in the South.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So how about that? Yeah, here in the Bay Area, you just move to Brentwood if you want to get away from the black people. I mean,
gosh, you know that old saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Well, we're seeing that too with the left. They want to segregate the right-wing people into their areas. In fact, all the vaxxies wanted to put the unvaxxies into camps. So I mean, segregation's back on the menu. It just depends on what point of view you have. And this one is, we're selling it as whites want to get away from the black neighborhoods. I don't know if that's it. If they're wealthy folks, then, you know, yeah, they want their own area, just like people who live in Brentwood. But it's just kind of funny that, you know.
It's human nature to congregate with the same.
Right, but the optics of this case is...
Oh,
I mean, I'm also finding some humor in it, but you know, it's like if you have enough money, you can do whatever you want.
It is sad when the dark stuff never changes. Like, it just comes back. It just keeps creeping back in.
Yeah.
You know, Israel-Palestine, racial tension, the South,
mm-hmm.
bad politics in California. Oh, sorry, did that slip out?
you want to go to that next?
Well, just when you think Sailor Twist is gone, she'll pop up again.
Well, this doesn't have anything to do with Sailor Twist, but it is the haircut, as I refer to. The governor, he has signed a bill to ban popular snacks due to their cancer-causing chemicals.
He should ban forest fires in California, too, because that smoke causes cancer, too. And,
mm-hmm.
and he should but ban the causes of the forest fires, which would be him and PG&E. I think they both should go away.
You know, we talk about Boeing murdering people.
And Southwest Airlines.
Yeah, but you talk about Boeing murdering people. PG&E's murdered a whole lot more. But we'll get to that another time, I guess. So this bill would prohibit the sale and manufacturing of several popular snacks within the state. And it includes Skittles, Pez, and other junk food, which Pez I might revolt over because I like Pez. And... Where's the rest of the?
Have you? Well, oh, here it is. Do you have candies you don't like? I mean, so far we're on the Pez. Are you gonna buy 4 tubs of that too?
I probably should. I mean, I've got a big C-3PO Pez dispenser that's like a foot tall. I need to buy some Pezzed and fill that up. Of course, my wife will scream because she knows I'll eat it all within a day.
Somebody gifted me an unopened set of the Star Wars characters on Pez dispensers.
Oh, yeah.
So it's all the Pez dispensers and, you know, Chewbacca and Han Solo, right. And Luke and all that. And I was like, oh, my gosh, that's kind of cool. So I've it's still wrapped.
Mm. Might be some money there. You can sell it on eBay. I had a
growing... I'm never going to eat the Pez, so...
Oh, okay. I had a growing Pez collection, and then I put it all in a storage unit with a bunch of other stuff, and then someone broke into that storage unit, stole many things, including my Pez collection, and I've never gone back to rebuild it. So
it was a conspiracy.
It was. So anyway, if you live in California and you like Skittles and other candies, you're going to have to buy them very quickly. And this will be like the Hostess Twinkies, where everybody's selling boxes on eBay for $200, and because some of those are going away. I suppose
one more thing we're trying to ban or cancel.
I suppose the chocolate companies are the ones who are really going to make out with this. So, oh, okay, it doesn't go into effect until 2027. So, okay, we got some time.
California be burned down by then.
Yes.
All right, so are we done with the white guys? Because you had a couple of white guy stories.
I think we're done with the white guy stories for a while. So. Yeah,
let's ban and white guys.
We'll ban white...
Oh, too late. They've already been banned.
Well, we'll ban white guys from the Drake and Scott show for the rest of the hour. So we got to take another break and back with our next 15-minute segment so we can go a little longer. And see you in a minute. Drake and Scott back with you on Radioslot.com. Let's talk about people that were really excited about a big raise here in California, and some of them got fired. California's
hey, so is it still a raise if you get fired?
Well,
I that's not a raise.
No, it's not. It's
it's called a demotion.
California's decision to implement a $20 minimum wage for fast food workers in September has caused considerable disruptions. Notably, the law has led to the elimination of nearly 10,000 jobs in the sector, and as the new wage takes effect, additional job losses and operational changes are becoming evident.
We could get Gavin Newsom to ban the $20 minimum wage if we can convince him that it causes cancer, and he'll throw it out with the candy.
Okay.
Although, maybe this is good. Fast food, food? It's a deceiving title.
Yes.
It's fast, but it's not food.
And prices have been going up in that sector anyway, and people are starting to really turn away in droves. McDonald's is suffering and all that. But it's like a course in basic economics. It's like if you make business too difficult and too expensive, then there's not going to be a business. So, I mean, in some cases, restaurants are either just doing layoffs. There was a Foster's Freeze in the Central Valley we should get to that just flat out closed. And the employees of that shop are saying, we wish we had the old wage because then at least we would have a job still.
We're seeing
El Pollo Loco and Jack in the Box. They're accelerating the integration of robots for tasks ranging from salsa making to frying. So this whole effort by the unions and the state to, you know, improve the wage is resulting in maybe the unintended consequences of more people being out of work and more jobs, frankly, being eliminated as technology comes in to replace them. There's the McDonald's on Bernal, where there's like four people working there, and you order on the touchscreens. I mean, you can go your whole visit without seeing anybody there.
Yeah, and I always get nervous food places when they start making cutbacks.
I understand.
Because I'm worried about the food quality. Like, how do you guarantee that you still have a product worth buying? Because that's what you were saying earlier, the basic economics. Mm-hmm. When a company fails to make money, they go out of business.
Right. Or they're going to have to do things cheaper to maintain their profit margin. So, yeah, that means lower quality. And
yeah. One of dad's favorite phrases, whenever you suggest something, you say, well, okay, well, how are we going to pay for that?
Mm-hmm.
You want to do this? That sounds great, but do we have the money for
it? Well, Wendy's, Chipotle, Starbucks, they've raised prices 8%, 7.5%, and 7%. McDonald's is one of their franchisees. It's like, I can't charge $20 for a Happy Meal. So it puts them in a real spot. You can only go so high before customers turn away, which is starting to happen. So it's like, what do you do? I mean, as a business,
you cancel jobs. I guess so. Yeah. You go invest in something else that is going to make money.
And so now this, at the SEIU, they were trying to facilitate the unionization of fast food workers through part of this. Well, now that sector is shrinking because of this, and
well, and for some of them, it's disappearing.
Yeah, and it's
which the irony, they wanted to raise wages in order to create better living for workers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 10,000 of them don't have jobs now. And, so what did you actually create?
That's just the start.
You created a vacuum.
Yeah. Yeah. And that 10,000 is just the start. It's going to be a lot higher very soon. I would figure by end of summer, we're going to see some real serious consequences from this. And we're just starting.
Yes. It's just a continued effort on the governor's part to see how many storefronts he can close the state.
You're giving him too much credit there, though, because he didn't think this was going to happen. It's like, oh, we're going to raise rates, people are going to make more money, everyone's going to be happy, and business will continue as normal.
I love what you
just said. No.
This
is how they think. They thought this was going to work out just fine, and everybody was going to be happy.
I like the way you said it before.
What did
he didn't think.
Right.
This was going to happen. Sentence in half. He didn't think.
No, I understand that. But the reality is they didn't think this was going to happen. They thought this was going to be great. We're going to enrich all these people. They're going to vote Democrat now because look what we did for them.
And they'll have more money and buy more fast food.
Exactly.
It'll be wonderful.
And the exact opposite is happening. So what's going to, how are these people going to vote next time? It's like, gee, this Democrat governor did something that has cost me my job. And now the sector I was working in has shrunk and there aren't as many jobs available and I'm not qualified for anything else unless I go back to school, et cetera. So are they going to be happy Democrats now or maybe they're going to vote the other way?
Well, I mean, when the economy's bad, usually the incumbent gets voted out, right?
Sure.
It won't happen in California because it's a one-party state. But the sad part of this is there wasn't really anything wrong with the fast food industry in California. It was fine. It's not necessarily food. I got lots of complaints about it. But they had their market. Mm-hmm. They had their constituent. They were doing okay.
Right.
And the government comes in. They want to put their hands on it and tie strings to everything and mess with it. That's not how economics work.
No, and it's coming at an awful time anyway with inflation and the other problems we're having right now, so it's making things more expensive. So materials.
People just finished paying their taxes.
Right. So it's like everything else is going up, and now it's going up even further because of this new wage. And the wine industry is suffering, car business is suffering. Shoot, my book sales are down. So it's like there's.
Maybe that's where Ziggy went. He went to go get a second job.
Maybe he did, since we lost our sponsor and we're not getting paid for this anymore.
Oh, but I blame the governor.
But no, we're going through a time now where more people are tightening their belts and not spending money on non-essentials. They got to save it for what they need, and everything's suffering as a result. So
everything's suffering.
Can't
and no one wants to hang out with Gabbing Nuisance now.
Well, I'm sure his wife still likes him.
I got 14 reasons why no one wants to hang out with Gabbing Nuisance.
Okay, go ahead.
Actually, this comes from an article also from MSNBC. 14 reasons why people don't want to hang out with you. I love it.
Yeah, why don't you take this one?
Do you know why people don't want to hang out with you? The first one?
No. Why?
Because you don't initiate anything. Okay. If you want to hang out with people, why don't you initiate? If you're waiting for someone else to initiate,
what if you aren't quite sure the group you're hanging out with actually likes you yet? So that's why you don't initiate anything.
Well, there's many reasons.
Uh-huh.
You got to get beyond your reasons to avoid it. And find an excuse to do something.
I see.
Find an excuse, initiate, start something, okay. Right? That's how you get going. So that's number one. Number two, you fear rejection.
Well, that's from my first question.
Yeah, so your fear paralyzes you, and then you don't initiate anything. The two go together.
Uh-huh.
But there's nothing to fear but...
Fear itself.
But fear itself. Okay, thank you very much. Or number three... Being too negative or judgmental. Somebody brings something up and you take the negative side. Right? You ever been around that guy? Who plays devil advocate?
I've been around
pessimist?
That. I've been around that guy. I've been that guy. So and sometimes
why you're not getting invited to stuff.
Well, I'm married now. I don't care anymore.
Okay. Well, that's why Gavin's not getting invited to stuff, because he's negative on everything from candy to wages. Or you have busy friends, number four. If your friends are busy, mm-hmm. then they're doing stuff. It has nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the problem. You think that people don't want to hang out with you? You're internalizing something that might not even be there.
But then
it's just they're busy.
Well, but
how
then,
about you but then, initiate with them?
Okay, but then they're not too busy to hang out with each other. They just don't hang out with you.
Well, they might be working or doing family. Busy is never necessarily just about you.
Right, okay.
Right? So the 15th one in here that's not actually on the list is you might be a narcissist because everything spins around you. Right? Number 5, lack of planning. Plan something.
Okay.
Set a date. Pick something and put it on the calendar. Then you have something to look forward to. And then they have something to look forward to.
Yeah. Yeah. We used to.
We become such a instantaneous culture where we think we can look something up on our phone right away or just grab a ticket right now and mm-hmm. run to the theater or I'm going to get my fast food. What happened to planning?
Yeah. We used to do that with Facebook. In fact, that was the first one of the reasons everybody got on it. Well, for my group is because it was an easy way to communicate, you know, group events like this. So someone would put up an event and invite everybody, and then whoever responded, those are the ones you expected. So
and it's such a cheap invite.
Yeah, but it was a fast way to get a message out to a whole group of people that you might, you know, you might not have their phone numbers or other ways to contact them, so you just put it all out there for everybody to respond to at their leisure, and yeah. It worked out pretty well.
All right, number 6, you know why you don't get invitations to hang out?
No.
Because you say no.
Oh.
They invited you something before, and you said no. Why are they going to call you again and say,
Well, that could be. But it's like, what if you work the graveyard shift and you're not available to do things on a Wednesday
okay,
night?
You're coming up with excuses now rather than understand no, I'm telling the premise
you,
here.
I'm telling you how it was back in the day.
I know what I'm talking about now.
Okay.
So here's the problem. When people want to hang out, they'll pick an activity. Mm-hmm. And then they say, hey, you want to do this activity with me? Our problem is we focus on the activity. Do I really want to go get donuts? Well, I really don't. So you say no. But the invitation was actually a bid to connect with them, with the mm-hmm. person. So how about you forget what the activity is and just go along with it, put less emphasis on the activity and emphasize the relationship with the person you want to be with. Mm-hmm. Because when you just evaluate, oh, do I really want to go to a movie right now? Or I'm not hungry, so I don't need to go out to eat. How about you go out to eat and then don't eat? Just hang out with the person. Get a mm-hmm. snack.
Yeah.
Whatever. Drink some water. I'm getting fired up, man.
All right.
Number 7. Argue too much. People don't want to hang out with arguers.
I'm not arguing.
See? That's an argument. I that's who I call. I call people that want to have a discussion rather than an argument. Mm-hmm. That's no fun.
No. Someone who's going to argue.
I won't call. You wouldn't call them, right? So it makes sense.
No.
So how often can you agree is the question, mm-hmm. right? That's the solve on this. Number 8, disrespecting differences. Like somebody has a different opinion.
Well,
this is the state of politics today, right?
Yeah, and some people are just dumb. I mean, and how do you?
And that's what they think when you disagree with them, right? So you stumbled onto it, Brian. Very good. There's hope for you. So how about agreeing with somebody rather than or just?
When I worked at Channel 5, we had one of our producers had a sign at her desk, and it said, "You have the right to your wrong opinion."
Yeah, yeah. That's like the other one I liked was I wanted to have an intelligent conversation, but apparently you were unprepared. Something like that. Your friends take you for granted. If you have people that take you for granted, then they're not going to invite you. They don't want to hang you out, and they assume that you're going to do more stuff or whatever. That's when you run into somebody who probably is. More interested in self than actually connecting. Mm-hmm. And you got to recognize when you're around those people and find people that actually want to connect.
True.
Number 10, you might be boring.
Uh-oh.
You know what boring is?
No.
You focus on your topics rather than you can run with someone else's topic. So whether you agree or not, or it's different or not, mm-hmm. how about you just let them talk? Just let them share their side and go along with it. Ask clarifying questions. Mm-hmm. Do a little research. Oh, really? Why do you think that? You know, and just have some fun with it rather than it has to be some, we take our positions and that's it.
And then we defend those positions and yeah.
Okay. It's no fun.
All right.
All right.
What's the next one?
Number 11. You're too needy or too clingy. Brian, are you going to hang out with me? Okay. Why aren't you going to hang out with me? Well. I need more friend time. Brian, you want to take that phone call?
No.
I know. It sounds creepy, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
But
I wouldn't take that call even if it came from a female. I'd avoid that one, too.
Well, for sure. So clingy and needy is unattractive, right? How about being approachable? When somebody approaches you, what do you do to help them feel connected? One, here's a good one to start with.
Smile.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's where I was going. Tell your face. If you smile, and there's something that happens in the body chemistry when somebody smiles at them. It's like, oh, they're safe, or they're warm, or hey, I'm going to ask them a question. All of a sudden, like the guards come down, and it's an invite. It's a nonverbal invite. So how are you approachable? Asking people what they think. Hey, what do you want to do? That kind of stuff. There you go. Number 13, you have friends that you have trouble finding common ground. They have different interests than you.
Mm-hmm.
And so either you need to get interested in their stuff, or you need to find people that are interested in
your
stuff you're interested
in.
That's a slippery slope then, because then you might be just doing your own thing all the time. And the last one, 14 of 14. Somebody invites you to hang out, and you bring someone else with you.
Oh, a buffer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't invite the other person. What are you doing? I need a wingman?
Well, yeah, you need someone to talk to in case the person
you got
to
be able to walk into a room just by yourself and have the confidence to just be yourself and let the people in the room be themselves. And
Yeah, I know. I agree. Yeah.
Or call and ask permission ahead of time to bring somebody else.
Yeah, that... That happened with me a couple of times, and it's like, well, who is this joker? And
we solve all this?
How?
Creative play.
Okay. What is that?
Stop with all the agendas. Spend time with people and have no agenda.
Mm.
Find a way to have no agenda when you're around people and just let it play out. They say actually one of the best things for adults is to prioritize creative play. It's when there's no rules. There's no activity that has parameters.
Right.
Right. If you get to work on a hobby or something and you kind of get to paint your own thing or listen to your own music or, hey, what do you want to do? I don't know. Let's just walk around downtown. Well, it's creative play.
I see.
Right. And it does something. That also does something for your body too.
What?
Endorphins.
Sort of, okay. Some
it,
sort
it,
of
it calms you, peaceful. You become more attractive, not in a affectionate kind of way, but... Mm-hmm. Are safer calm is contagious.
I do have a question there though. What about someone who is more of a structured person? It's like that. I need it's like it's
probably even more important for them.
Yeah, because it's like, I mean, for me, it's like, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. You know, we're going to hit this. You know, we're going to follow this pattern or this schedule.
Yeah, and in the pattern, put spontaneous.
I see.
Put spontaneous. I'm going to have some time that's spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you're a kid. We had this massive couch. And we could take the cushions off. And there were Saturday mornings where we just put the cushions all over and build forts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There were no rules. And you and your brothers are just hanging out and, all right, this is fun. You know, parents could have come down and be like, that's not what cushions are for. And, you know, quit messing with the couch. And, you know, why don't you go mow the lawn or whatever. No. Creative play.
I see. Well,
you become more attractive and people want to hang out with you if you do creative play.
I understand. Well, I wish we had no parameters here, but we do have to take a break. So back with our final segment after this. Drake and Scott at Radioslot.com back with our final segment, our post-game wrap-up, where we try to make it all make sense. And to that end, we have Scott in his page of notes that I notice is almost blank. You've got a couple of scribbles there, but nothing like you usually have. Usually you write a book.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. The last couple shows, we've been covering so much stuff. It's like, man, we're flying, and I don't have time to write stuff down.
I see.
I think that's a good sign. Okay. Today's post-game report brought to you by Alternative Perspectives.
Okay.
What is your ability? What's your capacity? What's your enjoyment in entertaining alternative perspectives? This is how you understand people, get connected, get invited to things, hang out with people. This is how you make a good policy for like a state, if you were the governor kind of thing. Look at all the alternative perspectives. And we have a problem in our culture. We have all these phrases that we like I'm the master of my own destiny.
Yeah.
If you want something done right, how do you finish that?
Oh, well, you do it yourself.
Yeah, so but you the, know the that
thing,
one, right?
Yeah, well, the thing
to with, thine own self.
Yeah, be true.
What is wrong with all those statements?
They're all self-centered, all self-focused. But it is hard to adapt to someone else's perspective when it is outside of what you've learned or come to believe, say, for a significant amount of time. So, like, if you grow up with a certain opinion, or you have an experience that ingrains a certain opinion, to have someone else come along that is different, it is not easy to adapt to that different point of view.
Well, I want you to have your opinions. And I want to learn how to enjoy your opinions, mm-hmm. even if they're different. I want to recognize your alternative perspective and be able to entertain it. Right? It was Socrates or Plato or one of them guys. It said, a sign of maturity is the ability to entertain a thought without having to accept it. It's brilliant.
It is.
Now,
because, well,
you said it was self-centered, self-hate.
Right.
Most people would call that just being independent.
Right.
I'm self-sufficient.
Right.
You know, but those are both ways. You know what you're saying with both of those?
No.
Alone.
Oh, okay.
Independent is actually alone.
Right, right. But going back to Socrates or Socrates or whatever, however you say his name, that when I was younger, that was the toughest part of listening to another opinion, is because I thought if I listened to it, then I had to somehow accept it in order to give it any kind of validity. And but then, of course, if you don't have to accept it, then are you free then to say that's a dumb idea, or is that not conducive to what you're trying to the point you're trying
well,
to make?
Well, I mean, if you want to say I prefer something else, mm-hmm. great. Do you have the same capacity to say it's okay for them? Like, they enjoy that, and I want them to continue to enjoy that. That's fine. Let mm-hmm. them keep doing it. I'll be over here. They'll be over there.
Yeah.
But one of the best things that about people is the differences. Being fascinated at someone else's culture or their mindset. Mm-hmm. You go to another country, I don't want to bring America with me. I go to another country. I want to try their food. I want
America's
to see
already
how
there.
They're doing all their things.
I went to Mexico. The first thing I saw was a Domino's pizza. It's like, I got that at home.
Well, you're looking for the wrong things, man. You go to Mexico, you find the local taco stand.
They had a big sign. You couldn't miss it.
Well, keep driving then. Find out how culture actually works.
In the pharmacy with all the boner pills. And
man, you went dark.
I know, I did. It was, I had to ask where the Cuban cigars were, because nobody was, they wanted to sell pizza and boner pills.
Well, some people need that stuff and think you're disgusting for smoking cigars, right? But when we can learn to appreciate other perspectives that are alternative from ours, mm-hmm. you become a more well-rounded person.
I see. No, I have done that as I've gotten older, but when I was younger, it was very tough.
There you go.
All right. Any other final thoughts? I don't have. I don't have anything other than.
Is this episode 52?
This is episode 52. Yeah.
There's a final thought right
there.
In
fact, this will air the day after our official anniversary. So, we're airing on the 18th. Friday the 17th is
52
our,
shows.
Yeah, because we did that one practice
365
show.
Days.
Yeah, we did the practice episode, which didn't air.
And we didn't count it.
Yeah, so that's why we're the math is kind of off. But, yeah, it's one full year.
Good job. High five.
Yeah, high five. We need to – I know summer is coming. We're both going to be busy. We need to do something. Maybe
we're going to have some fun. We're going to start bringing in some guests.
Yeah, I got to – I want to start doing interviews because I got some people lined up, but – we got to get that arranged. It's
cool. If you have ideas for the show, email us, drakeandscott@gmail.com.
All right. Well, we are out of time, and you'll be back next week.
Yeah, good night, Gracie.
Back next week, and maybe Ziggy will be back next week, and Mary will be here to throw her hat in the air. You're gonna make it after all. Meow.